Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Doing this, Tara, and being able to use the resources of the North American Mission Board, the Lord has brought some incredible people in our life.
He absolutely has.
And a couple of years ago, we were able to meet Jay and Sandra Watkins, and they are doing such a ministry to foster kids. We actually got to take our kids down there, our kids,
yes,
and do a Christmas party with them, how they bless foster children and foster families during Christmas time. And so we could not keep going further without having Jay on the podcast and get to hear his incredible story. So Jay, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
And thanks for the invitation. Love talking about kids and foster care.
Awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about your family down there in South Georgia.
Well, Sandra and I, we have, as of today, we have 5 kids.
That's incredible.
It's kind of funny. Pedro arrived from Venezuela this week, and wow. We signed papers this week. And so we're super excited about Pedro. He is 16, and he'll be coming over here, and we'll just be helping him through school and through university. I've known his family for years, but we have Hope, Faith, Grace, and Luke, and all of those are our children from birth, but they're all adopted, and of course they're all of a different race, different ethnicity, but when God puts a family together, don't matter what it looks like, it's just good.
That's right.
That's right. Jay, I love the way you're able to simplify something, and I get it. It is good.
It is good.
And so, but you weren't content with just to do that.
No, adoption and being adults with infertility, we just really had a heart for children. And as our church started growing and started becoming more and more mission-minded, now, taking consideration, our church is still a small country church.
And you're the pastor of that church.
Yeah, I'm the pastor. I'm sorry. I pastor Redland Baptist Church, and I've been there 20 years. But the last 10 years has been phenomenal watching our church get involved in the welfare of our community as far as birth parents, adoptive parents, foster parents, and foster children. It's been amazing.
So you saw the needs of the vulnerable children in your community and said, oh, we're totally engaging this.
So, we did. Mm-hmm.
So how did you lead that charge with your church? Were they all in, like, right from the beginning?
Well, God has blessed Redland with some great people. And we used to do events called Community Day, serving across North America. And that really took hold, and they're done all over. And as we were doing those events, we realized when we would see a family that they had nothing. And then we just started getting involved. And actually, a social worker called me as we had a relationship. She was a friend of mine, and she called me and told me about 10 years ago, she said, Jay, the economy has crashed. The state has cut our benefits for children, and we don't know how we're going to do Christmas for the kids this year. Would your church be willing to help us in any way? And so we just kind of sat around a table and started brainstorming and read some ideas of how churches in Alabama and other places and were helping foster care. And we kind of come up with our own idea, which was called Christmas Time at Camp Rock. And basically what that is we give Christmas now to over 40 counties in the state of Georgia and about 5 or 6 in North Florida. And we just supply them with a day of Christmas. And what has happened is not only has our church just really poured into that event, but local churches around us have said, well, hey, we want to learn this. We want to get involved in this. So now there's 5 or 6 churches serving alongside of us and making this day for children in foster care and foster care workers and families. Just feel appreciated and forget about all the things that have happened and just pour out the love of Christ to them.
Well, I have to tell you, when we brought our kids down just to witness everything that happened,
it's a big party.
It is a huge party. And they were astounded. Our kids still talk about how amazing that was. But I know you mentioned that you're a rural church It's not like you've got 3,000 members in a city. So how do you pull that off? That's a lot of foster kids. And we've been there, and it is a big deal. It's not like you get one little candy cane. I mean, you guys are providing meals and gifts and, like, carnival rides. I mean, it's incredible.
It is. That one day cost our church anywhere between $35,000 and $45,000. And we don't even, and we do not even put that in our annual budget.
Wow.
It's kingdom work. And,
exactly.
And it's the passion of the people. It's just a God thing. I can only tell you that he makes it happen every year. But we do have to do things to really get involved in the community. It takes getting out, meeting, seeing what kind of needs they have. Every year we go to DFACS. We just don't assume that they need jackets. We don't assume that they need suitcases. We go and we actually have an ongoing relationship with all of our DFACS workers and with the directors. And we literally ask them, what do you guys need this year? How can we bless you this year?
I love that.
And it didn't start serving 3,000 people. It started serving one family.
Right.
I mean, you got to start somewhere. You just can't go to a 3,000 event. And it just takes that one person in that one rural church. Listen, we have a caution line at our church. We don't have anything around us. But God has so blessed us that it is just unbelievable. And right now, what's cool is as this ministry has grown over the last 10 years, so has our church's mentality about what is happening to the children, what is happening with this opioid crisis. Many ministries have launched off of this foster care ministry. And just a few weeks ago, on a pew was a foster mother and father with their foster children and the birth mother and the birth father.
Wow.
And they were all in church together, worshiping
wow.
together.
Wow. That's incredible.
I mean, I can tell you, when we teach our impact classes with our foster care agency, our church, when we teach that, we know that the only thing that's going to make big change and break the cycle of poverty, drug abuse is the name, the power, and the love of Jesus's people.
Amen.
That's great. And so your church has also done some other things. We were there visiting, kind of outside the box. Not only are your people serving, but you're using your resources, your building for God's glory and to serve foster families and social workers. And tell us about the boutique and how that came about.
Oh, yeah. So all the time, DFACS brings children into their system with nothing. Mm-hmm. No clothes. You're aware of that. I watch your post on that, and I think, man, that is great. So you guys did a storage building, and you had a pack for DFACS. Well, I was like, well, guys, we got all this square footage across the road. We have one of our churches was our old church, which is, you know, like 150 years old. Mm-hmm. So we had Sunday school rooms that we didn't use anymore. We had all kinds of space over there that was filled with things throughout the years because we had opened a new sanctuary, a new education place across the street. And we just decided one day, let's turn this into something. And so what we did is we took the whole top floor, which used to be nothing but Sunday school classes, and ended up being storage rooms, and we turned it into a beautiful, beautiful boutique. And when I say boutique, I know that's kind of funny for a country preacher to say boutique, but anyway, it really
say
is.
Say it, Jay. I love it.
We wanted our foster families, anybody in our community that needed help, and the DFACS workers, when they came in there, we wanted it to be the best experience possible. And we wanted it to feel like a place that they were shopping with the most expensive clothes and the best environment. And so that's what it looks like. And it has worked so well. I mean, it's so wonderful to see families come in and get things that they need, especially with relative placements.
Right.
I'm a grandmother that gets a set of children, sibling group, a four, and she has nothing. So she can come in our boutique and she can get everything she needs for those children. And it's just beautiful. We have everything from clothing to hygiene products to school supplies. And we have our church members, they run the boutique and they keep it up and they keep everything spotless. And what's really cool is on Wednesday night, we have what is called Redland Academy for Children, Redland University for Youth, and Redland University. One of their requirements is they have to work in missions in this university. So we have a group that works in the boutique. every Wednesday night, and they restock and they check everything out and make sure it's all clean and ready to go. And it's just an amazing thing.
Oh my stars! I love that so much. I love the fact that you are not only the example of growing your family in different way through adoption and through even bringing in Pedro right now to help him through school. But you're leading the charge. You got certified to teach state impact training for foster families. So you teach impact training. Then you engaged your congregation to say, everybody can do something.
That's right.
And not only can they do something, but let me tell you what you can do. And then training the next generation to say, you're going to be the hands and feet of Christ. It's what we're called to do. It's this all-encompassing leading from the pulpit. And man, we love it. We sing your praises all the time.
We really do. And just be, you know, to listeners, be encouraged.
Yes.
You know, it's like Jay said, I love what you said, Jay. You started small.
Right.
Tara and I, too, we just went into a DFACS office and said, how can we help you? You know,
yes.
And that's where you can start. It doesn't start with a mega church.
Mm-hmm. How did the DFACS person respond when you went in and say, hey, we're here. What do you need? Do you remember?
I don't want to be discouraging, but they were like, yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, many people have said that before.
Right.
And I said, okay, I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to stick with you until I really annoy you. And boy, did I ever. But now we are a resource that they call every day. I mean, it's amazing the lives. I mean, day before yesterday, guys, I got to go to this special event that our local school system honors children in middle school that are in eighth grade that excel in academics, show that they are promising with a future of post-secondary studies. One of the foster children that go to my church, that their foster parents go to my church, she won that $10,000 scholarship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And what was so amazing, I didn't even ask her. She was like, I'm just so thankful to be a part of Camp Rock. And so she's grown up now, and she's one of our junior counselors in our Mentory Wilderness Camp and also a church member. So it kind of just, it's just kind of full circle.
Mm-hmm.
The pastor gets the vision, or some leader in the church gets the vision, passes it to a small group. That small group takes the vision, passes it to their inner circle. And before you know it, the whole congregation is ready to roll. And I mean, it's a blessing to watch God take a church way out in the country and do great big things for the Lord. And that's really what he has done.
It is really incredible. I love the fact that your congregation has not just caught the vision, but they are ready to go.
That's right.
They know that not everybody is called to be an actual foster family, but there are so many things outside of being a foster family that they can do, and they do it well, and they do it with excellence.
So many layers, and we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes, we really do. And so now, where do you see this going, Jay? I know it's growing, and I know that you really could have never really envisioned everything the Lord's doing. I'm never surprised to hear what you're doing in South Georgia, and I love it because you encourage me and you challenge me.
Well, so the funniest thing I can ever say was when we hired Drew Boswell to be our director for, which we now are licensed foster care and adoption agency.
That's
and
amazing.
Our offices are in our church. Our church lets us rent those offices for a small amount of money. And so not only is our church watching this grow and be effective, they're part of it. I mean, everybody that's an employee is in our church, and they've left jobs to come and serve in a capacity. But the funniest thing I ever heard someone say is, at Redland, you just need to put your seatbelt on and hold on. But you said, where do I see this going? My heart's desire is to see it break a cycle.
Yes.
And both of you know that the reason foster care is exploding is because of this opioid crisis that not only affects the lower income, but now it's affecting even the middle class.
Oh,
and
for
higher.
Sure. Yes, for sure.
Oh, man, it's everywhere. And so I had a church member come up to me last year and said, I feel like we need to to work in this crisis shelter. I said, well, if you feel like it, I feel like you ought to. Praise the Lord. She took a group of people, went into this addiction facility for young or for single mothers with their children, and started working. And we started seeing them get saved. And they started coming to church. And their children started participating and coming out of foster care. And so we looked at each other. We said, this is our next step. So right now, what we have is we have, our church has a scholarship program that when these women come out of their first year of treatment and they've been vetted, I mean, they have to be in our Bible study and, you know, they
accountability,
have
accountability. Yeah.
Yeah. They have to be willing to meet with our counselors who is church members at our church. And they come into this program. And for 2 years, we work side by side to teach them how to be a parent. We teach them how to follow Christ, and we teach them a trade. And so it's super excited to see that this is the next step of where we're going. And I really believe that that's going to be the answer.
One-on-one discipleship. It's a novel concept written in the Bible.
Yes.
And you're doing it.
You really are.
We created.
And, you know, and it's everyone can do something.
Right.
If you've got an engine, you got a, you know, electrician or a mechanic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how to do any of that.
Mm-mm.
And so I have a son who likes that kind of thing, you know, and for someone to come alongside a child in foster care or, you know, one that's aging out of the system and say, we'll help you make a living. We're going to show you, you know, how to lead a family, how to take care of a family, how to be a man of God.
Right.
And here's a trade you can learn. That's the body of Christ at work.
Right.
I'll tell you, this is one thought that I always think, because I kind of think simple. And God give us our own personalities, and he gave us our own passions and our own talents for a reason. And why not use it for him?
Right.
I mean, why not the guy on the pew? Why not the sweet little lady that's lived through life on the pew? Why not them? Why not take what they have? And why not pastors encourage those who have never done anything to try? And it's just an amazing challenge. Everything that we do is run by volunteers, except now the Foster Care and Adoption Agency. And the volunteers are from our church.
That's awesome.
So it's amazing.
Well, and you think often about many pastor church leaders often think that a foster care orphan care ministry is a niche. It's like just an add-on
kind of thing. Yeah.
But if you think about all the different facets of everything that you guys are doing, you're talking every possible spiritual gift, every possible personality, every possible human being with all sorts of talents and passions can fit into any of that. And it's life on life discipleship in every aspect of everything you're doing. So it's not a niche. It's looking at the vulnerable population in your area and saying, what can we do? Lord, show me the door. And then lay that thought and passion on a person that's sitting in the pew, the 75-year-old lady who wants to work in the boutique, who's got great organizational and social skills, that just wants to talk and love on people and hang clothes up. I mean, it's everybody. So it's not a niche. It is. It's just your community of your congregation. I love it.
It's just doing life together.
Right.
And most people, I think most pastors and most people think that someone else is doing it already.
Right.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, the need for churches and pastors and lay people to get involved in foster care is like fast growing cancer. I mean, it is the biggest need that I know that is out there. And I always do it like this, because, you know, I'm a preacher and I love to see people come to know Jesus. So in our state, I said, like, we have 15,000 people in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's just say those 15,000 kids, they both have mom and dads.
Right.
And then they have a few siblings. I mean, you're up to 100,000 people that need Jesus right there.
Mm-hmm. That are broken and in messy situations. And I think that's sometimes what makes us fearful, is that this is a messy ministry. It's complicated. Mm-hmm. It's complex. Having foster parents, foster kids, and bio parents sitting on the same pew worshiping, that's complicated.
It is beautiful.
All at the same time.
That's right.
And that's what life is.
But we can simplify it, because the Lord's called us to show up
right
and to care. Right. And so, like you said, Jay, we don't know who we have sitting on the pews. We don't, you know, our neighbors. We don't know what gifts they bring to the table or how God's equipped them or made their personality. But we can all show up and care. So we got to show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And it's not real hard to find out who is sitting on the pew. I mean, literally, I've already told you we're a rural church. So one day I just got blank sheets of paper and put it in the bulletin and provided writing utensils. And I said, okay, write down three of the things that you love to do, write down what you do for a living. And you don't have to put your name on it. If you want to, you can, and pass them and put them in the plate as they go around. That's how we determined how we would start serving.
Wow.
I mean, I had to know what I was working with, and it wasn't that hard to do.
Right. So what do you tell a pastor of a church who has maybe heard about foster care or maybe has had an inkling about some of this and they want to do something and they have no idea how to start? What would you say?
It's very simple. You said it already. Look where God is working. Join in. See what door is open. They could just call their local defects and say, what is your needs right now?
And don't be offended if they say, yeah, right.
Because they're not going to trust you at first. Why would they trust us at first?
We have let them down. I mean, when we started working with the defects, they have said that churches has promised this and they didn't follow through, and promised this and we didn't follow through. I said, well, we're going to follow through. And now we're, you know, we're 11 years in, 12 years in. And it's
and
amazing.
They're calling you.
Yeah. And we speak at their events. I mean, they know, they call us their, religious partner. And so they know that we preach Christ, but they ask us to speak at their events. It's just that one step. And the biggest thing for pastors is think about the hurt that is amongst foster care and the children and the birth parents and the foster care parents, and just find one person to help. And then it turns into two people. And, you know, at Redland, way out here in the country, we had no foster parents that attended our church. And I don't even know how many we have now. What's really funny is the director of one of the regions that just joined our church. So
that's amazing.
It's all because our testimony is that church really likes to help children and families. And I feel like that's a pretty good testimony.
And as much as a bad rap as believers sometimes get these days, for you to be exactly what the Lord says, to be a light in
a dark place,
a city on a hill, you guys are making a difference for the gospel. And we are grateful to be your friends.
Well, we love what we do. We're gearing up now. Our theme for this Christmas is going wild with Jesus.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
Hey, if any pastors or anybody wanted to come and check us out, you're welcome to. Anybody's welcome to come and see what we do at Christmas. You don't have to serve 5,000 people or 3,000 people. You can serve 30 people in your church fellowship hall.
Well, we would encourage people in your area or wherever to come and visit, because if you think about that, what's going to happen at Christmas time happened because of one phone call and one willing heart to go into a defects office, you'll be astounded.
Yes.
So, Jay, we really appreciate having you. We're going to put all of your information about your agency and about your camp and your church in our show notes, but we're super grateful that you joined us today. Thanks for taking time.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.